Our first scripture lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It's in the New Revised Standard Version. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" May God bless our reading and hearing of the scripture.
Our second lesson continues from our first. It's Matthew 2, verses 7 through 12. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless the reading and hearing of the scripture.
Thanks be to God.
So basically, everything that flashes into our mind about the Magi is incorrect. The things that we immediately picture, the things that we immediately think of, are all entirely wrong. You know, I mean, we sing about it, and we love the hymn, "We three kings of Orient are." Well, the thing is, it never says there are three of them. They're not from the Orient, and they're not kings. But other than that, the hymn is spot on, right? And we sing it every year because we love it. And we think of the children's program, and with the children walk in dressed in their European crowns as they come in to worship the baby Jesus. And, you know, we're too lazy to make a new set. It's just, that's what it comes down to. It would take too much time. We'd have to have an intermission. It just wouldn't be worth it. So for expedience, we do it. They're right out here. You know, the Magi are right out here, you know, with the stable. I mean, it's the story that we picture in our mind. It's the nativity set that we see. But what we've always thought really doesn't resemble reality that much. We know, and I'm not the first one to tell you that they weren't kings. I'm not the first one to tell you that there weren't necessarily three of them. I'm not the first one to tell you that they weren't necessarily all male. I'm not the first one to tell you that it was anywhere up to 2 years or so before they actually showed up. I mean, these folks are traveling a distance, and they had to decide to go and follow this star. And it leads me to wonder, how does someone decide to do that? You know, two guys sitting on the front porch, you got, "Hey, Ralph. Yeah? You see that star? Yep. What say we follow it?" I mean, really? How do you decide to go chasing after a star? How do you go decide to take that kind of a journey to not know where you're going? But they did. They sought out on a new adventure, an adventure they didn't know for sure what was going to come, but they knew what their goal was. Their goal was to find out what was up with that star. And they went, and they succeeded. And they walked in. And it says in the scripture, they went into the house where the child and his mother, I mean, he's in a house by now, okay? I mean, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. He's not, you know, still in a straw bed, you know, in a stable, but, you know, he's in the house. They walk in and they offer him gifts. They offer him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this 2-year-old looks at those gifts And he goes and plays in the box that they came in, right? Isn't that how it works? So, you know, the thing is, they weren't sure what their journey was going to be. And yet somehow, when they got where they needed to be, they had a gift to offer the Christ child. This is the first Sunday of a new year. Being the first Sunday of a new year, it's a fresh start. It's a new budget year. It's a new program year. It's a new tax year for you. We have New Year's resolutions. I mean, we're far enough into the year. Some of you have already broken yours for this year. You know, I mean, we look at this. We know in our heads that it's just another day, but we look at it as the turning of a page, as a new journey. And so I'd like to think of the new year, much like the Magi looking at that star. They don't know for sure where it's going to take them, but they hope to find something important at the end of the year. As we go out and as we journey 2020, we have the foresight to know when we come to the end of the year, what will we find? Well, we'll find the Christ child. We'll find the Christ child once again. And the question for us is, what do we want to offer the Christ child when we get there? The thing about a long journey is it's interesting how just little things can make a huge difference. You know, it's going to come as no surprise to you that I'm a bit of a geek. And I have on my phone a game that is a space simulator. So if I'm sitting there watching a TV show, I can also at the same time be building a rocket ship that can take off, land on the moon, land on Mars, come back to Earth. It is not to scale, it is not scientifically accurate, but it's scientifically informed. So, you know, you have too much fuel, the rockets aren't strong enough to lift off. You come back in too quickly, you're gonna burn up on reentry. You know, you have to you know, use, you know, the principles, but clearly they're not to scale, they're not accurate. But it follows the principles that you would use. And so, what's interesting is that the difference in just a few meters per second means a difference of thousands of kilometers at the end of the journey. You're trying to get your trajectory so that you end up at Mars when Mars is no longer here, but all the way over there, because, you know, while you're traveling, Mars is moving. And so, you know, you adjust your trajectory, and just a few meters per second means, you know, thousands of kilometers when you get to the destination. Think about it this way. If you have ever fired a firearm, if you have ever used a bow and arrow, you know how just the slightest little twitch is going to have you completely off target when the projectile hits its target. Because that little nudge, one way or the other, gets amplified by the distance of the shot. And so I'm going to encourage you to think of 2020 that way, and to understand that little things that we do now can have a tremendous impact by the end of the year. You all heard a couple times in December, Bernie talk about the fact that we were projecting a shortfall this year. Well, I haven't looked in detail at the preliminary information that Pam set out, but I can pretty well sum it up for you this way. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, but we didn't break even. You know, so, you know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been because people did try to help at the end of the year. But at the same time, we didn't get to breaking even for the year. Just didn't happen. So the reality is, as we enter into a new year, we're going to get the same thing we got if we continue to do the same thing we did, right? You know, if you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got, right? So this is an opportunity for us to really think hard about what it is we want to accomplish as individuals and as a church this year. For example, you know, when Bernie was kind of given the plea on behalf of the finance committee, you may have thought to yourself, you know, I would probably be willing to put, you know, $100 at that, but I just don't have it right now. You know what that is? That's less than $10 a month if you start in January. Well, you know, I might have I might have been willing to put 500 toward it if I had it. Well, that's 10 bucks a week if you start in January. I know people who they don't even really give because they don't believe that their gift is going to be large enough to make an impact, so why bother? Well, think about this. If you give $1 this Sunday, and you give $2 next Sunday, and you give $3 the next Sunday, if each and every week you just add $1 to what you're already giving, or you just add $1 to what you're not giving at all, at the end of the year, you'll be dropping 50 bucks a week in the plate. And I want to be clear that the church needs your money, all right? I'm not going to pretend like we don't. We've had a tough couple of years, and finances have been rough. But this is not what it's about. It's not about the fact that the church needs your money. We need it, I'll admit it, but that's not what it's about. It's about personal stewardship. It's about personal devotion. Because here's what happens. When you make a decision that you're going to put that dollar in the plate, then you should also make that decision that when you're at the gas station, you're not going to pick up that dollar candy bar. How am I going to find that dollar this week? So you find it, and you make that choice. And then you get to $2. And so you're eating a meal somewhere, and instead of getting iced tea or a soft drink, you order water, and you've saved your $2 for that week. You get to $3. Well, if you like small cups of coffee, you can skip your drive-through at Scooters. If you like Venti coffee, you can wait till your $5 week to go, right? But what it is that those decisions then become spiritual decisions. They end up becoming the fact that much like somebody would sacrifice two turtle doves or someone would sacrifice an ox, we are sacrificing each week those things that we give up so that we can then give to the church, so that we can then give back to God out of our bounty and out of our abundance. And we can start small and end up making a huge, huge impact. It's not unfair to talk to you about stewardship. I know there's the preachers, they're always talking about money. There he goes again. I wish we didn't have to talk about money all the time at church. Where do you go where you don't talk about money? You go out to eat, you don't talk about money. Go to Walmart, you're absolutely talking about money. Go to the grocery store, you're going to be talking about money. Where do you go where you don't talk about money? I mean, that's everywhere. That's just part of how life is lived. But the big thing is, if I would look at you and I would say, you know what? You don't read your Bible enough. So here's my challenge for you. I want you to go home today and I want you to read one verse a day this week. And then next week I want you to read one paragraph a day. And the week after that, I want you to read one page a day. And if I would issue that kind of challenge, you might agree to the challenge, you might not agree to the challenge, but you would understand that I'm challenging you to a spiritual practice. You would know that it's a spiritual challenge and not just about prayer, just about money, just about prayer. It's a spiritual practice. I said it wrong, because I should have said, scripture, but prayer. Take your bulletin home. I ask you just about, every other time to take your bulletin home, pray for the people in there. Okay? What if I would say to you, I want you to go home today and I want you to pray for one name on that list. And tomorrow I want you to pray for the second and third name on the list. And the next day I want you to pray for, and just same thing that I said with that dollar bill. And you would probably sit there and think, I don't pray enough. Preacher's got me. I should, But something about the spiritual practice of sacrifice, we get offended. We get upset because how dare someone, challenge me on my spiritual practice of sacrifice and stewardship when prayer and scripture reading and worship attendance and all those things are fair game. Again, I admitted we run on money. We need it. We don't have it. We can't pay the bills. We're laying off staff. Staff is the one thing that we can control around here expense-wise. That's it. Everything else just happens. You know, utilities are what utilities are. We can nudge this thermostat one way or the other, but it's not going to make a meaningful impact at the end of the year. There's only one place that makes a meaningful impact. So yeah, we need the funds. But that's not why it's important. It's important because we all need the discipline to intentionally choose God over and against something else on a regular basis. To say, yeah, I could, but I won't, and instead, I'll put it in the plate. It's about the spiritual practice of sacrifice. So we're going to head out this year. We're going to head out on this new journey. We're going to head out into this unknown area that's called the year 2020. And there will be hardship, and there will be difficulty, and there will be joy, and there will be celebration. And when we come to the end of the year, we will find baby Jesus. And when we walk in and honor him as they did of old, or will we put a five in the plate because it's what we had in our pocket? We have to ask ourselves, am I willing to go on this journey together with God so that I may worship the King when the time comes? Amen.